In Vedanta Sara text, we were seeing the Adhyaropa Prakaranam, the portion dealing with superimposition. The superimposition is for negation, for apavada. There, we need to arrive at the truth, the reality, Brahma, the Atma, being distinct from the cause and its effect. So the truth is not the cause, truth is nor the effect. Which means truth is distinct from the cause and its effect. This is a fact finally we need to arrive at. Thereby we can understand what is there is only the truth. By distinguishing the truth, by understanding the truth being distinct from the cause and the effect and its effect, we can finally say all that is there is only the truth. There is no second thing, second reality other than the truth. This is the final vision we need to arrive at. And for which, to say that there is all that is, there is only the truth. So, the universe of the effect has to be negated. And for it to be negated, we have to arrive at what is that without which the universe cannot exist, has to be arrived at. Then even the cause also has to be negated. And for it, we have to arrive at the truth being distinct from the cause as well as its effects. Effect. So, karana, karya, vilakshana, atma. Karya, karana, vilakshana, atma. This has to be understood. That is the aim. And for which, here, the Upanishad introduces the whole Adhyaropa Prakaranam, the textbook here. And we saw Brahman, the absolute reality, has what? The power, the Shaktihi. The Shakti is Mula Vidya, Mula Avidya, Mula Vidya, or Mula Prakritihi, or Mula Jnanam, Mula Jnanam. Three terms we use. All the three terms are synonyms. Mula Vidya, Mula Prakritihi, Mula Jnanam. And this, otherwise called, what now? The original, subtlest matter. And this matter is of three types. Trividha. We can say Sattva Pradhana, Rajav Pradhana, and Tamav Pradhana. So predominantly Sattvic matter, predominantly Rajasic matter, and predominantly Tamasic matter. Actually, this matter is of three constituents or three gunas. Trigunatmika Shaktihi. Trigunatmika. But there again we differentiate, we see the three types in keeping with the predominance. So Sattva Pradhana is called Maya. Rajav Pradhana is called Avidya. Tamav Pradhana is Prakritihi. All three words mean the same. Avidya, Maya, Prakritihi, three different terms we use to mean the matter. But why we use three different names in keeping with the predominance of the guna? There, we understood the predominantly sattvic matter, Sattva Pradhana Prakriti, Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi or Ajnanam, which is called Maya, also serves as manifesting medium. And Rajav Pradhana Prakritihi Avidya also is a manifesting medium, which means, so this, for what? Here the truth, the consciousness, the pure consciousness associated with this Maya gets the title Ishwaraha or Antaryami. the same one and the same consciousness manifested in avidya gets the title prajnaha. So prajnaha antaryami or Ishwaraha. You better use the term antaryami. We already used the term Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha, the Lord, we use the term. Ishwaraha, another term is what? Antaryami. And prajnaha. Or Ishwaraha prajnaha. So consciousness manifests in sattva-pradhana prakriti is called Ishwaraha, and consciousness associated with the rajah-pradhana prakriti avidya is called prajnaha. So now you know what, who is Ishwara, who is prajnaha? Prajnaha and Ishwaraha are another than one and the same consciousness. Two different names, titles to one and the same consciousness in keeping with the manifesting medium, the upadis. Then we saw there is a tamav pradhana prakritihi, predominantly tamasic matter, which is called prakritihi. And from this tamav pradhana prakritihi alone came subtle elements, sukshma bhutani. Subtle elements originated from the predominantly tamasic matter. So when you talk about the elements, you have to forget about what? Predominantly sattvic, rajasic matter, don't remember. Where have these subtle elements originated from? If you say subtle elements are products of the predominantly tamasic matter. Subtle elements means unmixed, ungrossified elements. Pure space, pure air, pure fire, pure water, pure earth. Unmixed, ungrossified elements are subtle elements. Sukshma bhutani, they are called tanmatra. Tanmatra, how we can say. And now, the subtle elements, each subtle element consists of what? Each subtle element, which is a product of the predominantly tamasic matter, consists of three aspects. Sattva, sattvamshaha, rajomshaha, ajasamshaha, tamasamshaha. Three aspects are there. All the three aspects of the matter are there. Even though the subtle elements originated from the predominantly tamasic matter, still each element has all the three aspects. Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic aspects. Therefore, from the sattvic aspect of each element came corresponding sense power, jnana indriyam. So each sense power is a product of corresponding, the sattvic aspect of the corresponding subtle element. And the sattvic aspects of all the five elements together become the cause for the antahkaranam. I already explained in the previous class why antahkaranam is called antahkaranam. There is no internal or external, isn't it? But still, from the standpoint of the sense organs, you know, sense organs happen to be in between the mind and the external world of objects. We call mind an internal organ of knowledge. We see the sense organs as external organs of knowledge. Bahya karanani, antahkaranam. This difference is, you know, only from the standpoint of what? Between mind and sense organs and the external world of objects. Really speaking, there's no, it's not internal, understand? But still antahkaranam. And antahkaranam is what? Manaha and buddhihi. Manaha, Buddhihi, two different names, functional names, is for the same antakaranam, in keeping with the type of function it is involved in. That also I explained earlier. Samshayatmakam, manaha, nischayatmika, buddhihi, you all know very well, I know that. I'm only repeating today, just summarizing, for sake of summarizing. So manaha, antahkaranam, now involved in two different functions, thereby enjoying two different names as manaha and buddhihi, is also what now, product of the sattvic aspects of all the five elements. And here we have to remember, ahankaraha and chittam, memory and ego are also what now, part of manaha and buddhihi only. Mind and intellect. Thereafter we saw, from the rajasic aspects of the sattvic elements came karma indriyani, the powers of organs of actions. Now each, from the rajasic aspect of each subtle element came the corresponding power of organ of action. We saw all those things. And then from the rajasic aspect of all the five subtle elements together came the vital air, pranaha, involved in five different functions, governing five different systems, physiological functions. Therefore, having what now, five different names as pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. Therefore, totally these 10 of them, the five powers of organs of action, pancha karma indriyani, pancha pranaha, all the 10 of them are products of rajasic aspects of subtle elements. Now, there we stopped last. These 17 of them, five sense organs, five organs of actions, karma indriyani, pancha gyanendriyani, then manaha, buddhihi, then pancha pranaha. Totally 17 of them constitute sukshma shariram, subtle body, which is also called linga shariram. The author introduced another word, linga shariram or sukshma shariram, subtle body or astral body. Now it's nothing but these 17 aspects constitute the sukshma shariram. Now you know very well, you have to remember here, the avidya, which serves a manifesting medium, upadhi, for consciousness, thereby which contributes for the title of the pragyaha. No? The avidya is what? Causal body, karna shariram, I said earlier. We saw earlier. Avidya is karna shariram, causal body, I said. Remember that word? Now you have understood what? Subtle body, sukshma shariram. So sukshma shariram is what now? Sukshma shariram is the constituent of 17 aspects which are products of sattvic rajasic aspects of subtle elements. And which are the products of predominantly tamasic matter. Hope you remember all those things. Then, now you can see the corresponding, the total, isn't it? The corresponding, the totality of, all the subtle bodies is called what now? Subtle universe. You can say sukshma prapanchaha. Sukshma shariram into total is equal to sukshma prapanchaha. What is subtle universe? The totality of all the subtle powers, all the subtle aspects, subtle bodies, they constitute sukshma prapanchaha. Now here you have to remember, and the consciousness associated with the Sukshma Shariram gets the title Taijasaha. And the same consciousness associated with this Sukshma Prapanchaha gets the title Hiranyagarbha. So Hiranyagarbha is also what? Functional name of Ishwaraha, the Lord. Like how the consciousness associated with Maya gets the title Ishwaraha, Antaryami Ishwaraha. The same consciousness associated with the Avidya gets the title Pragyaha. Now the same consciousness associated with the Sukshma Shariram gets the title Taijasaha. And the same consciousness associated with the Samashti Sukshma Prapanchaha Samashtihi gets the title Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? Like Antaryami and Hiranyagarbha are two different names, functional names of the only Lord. Similarly, Pragyaha and Taijasaha are two different functional names of the only Jiva. Is it clear? Now, we have not yet looked into the book, textbook as such. But before going into the textbook, we were going to see later on anyway, but not now. But I wanted to give you the... Now, we have to have what? Such gross body, isn't it? So, where has this sthula shariram, the gross body, and the corresponding gross objects... Or, you know, all the gross bodies, not only this one human gross body, the gross body, all the gross forms, it's a, you know, plant body, animal body, worm body, you know, bird body, human body, isn't it? So all these gross bodies, all the gross bodies constitute what? No, all the gross forms constitute gross universe. Sthula prapanchaha. Sthula shariram and sthula prapanchaha. What is sthula prapanchaha? Gross body into the totality of the gross bodies. But not one gross body, isn't it? Varieties of species. So varieties of beings, innumerably countless form, species. Now all of them have what? Different types of bodies. Now all these corresponding gross forms constitute sthula prapanchaha. Not only gross bodies, we also have what? Inert, isn't it? See, the gross body, we can say, what about the rock, etc.? I'm including all of them. All the gross forms and names. All the gross forms. In fact, any gross body, any gross form is also what? As good as a piece of rock or a piece of a log of wood. Without this subtle body, what about the gross body? Gross body without a subtle body is what? Is as good as a piece of rock or a log of wood. Understand? Therefore, all the gross forms of all the bodies, forms up to, you know, forms in live, in living bodies also, the non-living things. All of them what constitute the gross universe. Now, so what is left behind? Now, if we saw the subtle elements, from the sattvic aspect of subtle elements came sense organs and the antahkaranam. This rajasic aspect came powers of organs of actions and the physiological functions. Now, what is left behind is what now? Only tamasic aspect of tamasic aspects of subtle elements, isn't it? Now, the tamasic aspects of the subtle elements, tamasic aspect of each subtle elements has to become the gross element. Now for producing the gross bodies and gross forms, the gross objects which constitute the gross universe, you need what? Gross elements, not directly from subtle elements. So subtle elements have to become gross elements. So what are the gross elements? Grossified elements are the gross elements. Panchikritani. Panchikritam means grossified element. Is what? Panchikritani. Grossified elements are the gross elements. Grossification means what? Panchikaranam means what? Here grossification means the unmixed pure element, isn't it? Has become what now? Mixed element. So how, what is the proportion of mixing up? And what is mixed with what? How much? Very simple. Sattvic aspect has gone. Rajasic aspect has already been discussed, isn't it? Now what is left behind is only the tamasic aspect of aspects of subtle elements. So tamasic aspect of each subtle element becomes divided into two halves. I repeat it. Tamasic aspect of each subtle element gets divided into two halves. Then the first half of the tamasic aspect of each element again gets divided into four quarters. One half remains the same. Now we have to think about now. We don't need to remember sattvic aspects or rajasic aspects. We have to think only of tamasic aspect now. Tamasic aspect of each element gets divided into two halves. One half remains the same. One half of tamasic aspect of each element remains the same. The one half of each tamasic aspect of each element gets divided into four quarters. Then what happens? 1/8 of the tamasic aspect of each element joins every other element. This is called grossification. Therefore, half of tamasic aspect of the space plus 1/8 of tamasic aspect of air, 1/8 of tamasic aspect of fire, 1/8 of tamasic aspect of water, 1/8 of tamasic aspect of earth together constitute one gross space, gross element. Now you can, the same way, we get what now? Gross space, gross air, gross fire, gross water, gross earth. So these are what now? No? Sthula bhutani. Sthula akashaha. Sthula vayuhu. Sthula agnihi. Sthula apaha. Sthula prithvi. So sthula bhutani, gross elements are, now you can understand, gross, each gross element is what now? Product of tamasic aspects of the subtle elements. It's not pure tamasic, product of the pure tamasic aspect, isn't it? One tamasic aspect, one element. But there's, it has, each gross element is, what now? Half of the tamasic aspect of subtle element plus 1/8 of tamasic aspect of all other four elements. Is it clear now? It is called grossification. Half of its own, one-eighth of the other four elements, constitute one gross element. Like gross air means half of tamasic aspect of the air and one-eighth of space, one-eighth of what fire, one-eighth of water, one-eighth of, you know, the earth, all tamasic aspects. These are all what now? This is called grassification. This tamasic aspect of each element getting divided into two halves, and again one half getting divided into four quarters, and then one-eighth of each tamasic aspect of each element joining other four elements is called what? Grassification. And after this process, what we have is grass elements. It's called Pancha Stula Bhuta Srishtihi. I mean, this is how gross elements come into existence. Are we really interested in knowing all these things? No, we are really interested in what? No, finally, to say we are interested in knowing what the truth is. We are not interested in elementals and the cause and the effect. We are going to negate everything finally. But still we have to understand. Now, from these gross elements alone, now these gross elements are the cause. From these gross elements alone came into existence all the gross forms, plant bodies. Grass means you can understand all the grass forms, the plant bodies, mobile beings, immobile beings, you see all of them. Inert, isn't it? All the grass forms come into existence. Now, you can say, this grass body and also what? All other grass objects which constitute the grass universe called Sthula Prapanchaha are products of this grass elements. We call them what now? Panchasthula Bhutani came into existence through the grassification of tamasic aspects of subtle elements, and from the grass elements came what now? This grass forms and names, the grass objects which constitute the grass universe. Therefore, it's called Pancha Bhautikaha Prapanchaha, five elemental universe. Elemental body, Pancha Bhautika Shariram and Pancha Bhautika Prapanchaha. Bhautika means elemental. Now, you have to remember here, now the consciousness associated with this gross body gets the name Vishvaha. And the same consciousness identified with this Thul Deha, gross body, gets the name Vishvaha. The same consciousness associated with the corresponding, the totality of gross forms of all being, isn't it? All forms. Total grass universe gets the name what? Vaishvanaraha or Virat. Virat, Vaishvanaraha, two names we have. Vishvaha, corresponding total is what? Vaishvanaraha or Virat. Is it clear? Now, you have to remember, Antaryami Ishwaraha, Hiranyagarbha, Virad or Vaishvanaraha. Okay, these three are what names are? Three different functional names of Ishwaraha. Pragyaha, Taijasaha, Vishwaha are the functional names of Jivaha. Is it clear now? Three different names, that's all. You use six names. Now you have to remember this now. This Karana Shariram Avidya And we say Maya is what? Karana Prapanchaha. Causal universe, we can say. Causal universe means what? Unmanifest, undifferentiated. So, here, avidya is the karana shariram and a sukshma shariram, sthula shariram. And a sukshma shariram is what now? The bhoga sadhanam. We understood here, the sukshma shariram, we divide them into what now? Three layers of personality. Remember all those things? We have to remember panchakoshaha now. So, avidya is the avidya, the karana shariram, the causal body, is what now? Anandamayaha koshaha. And subtle body, you divide them into three layers of personality, three koshas. Sense powers and manaha, sense power and intellect, buddhihi, constitute vijnanamayaha koshaha. Sense powers and mind constitute manomayaha koshaha. Pranas and karmendriyani constitute pranamayaha koshaha. Now, three layers of personality. So, subtle body, one body is divided into three layers of personality. Vijnanamayaha koshaha, manomayaha koshaha, pranamayaha koshaha. And what of this sthula shariram? Gross body is annamayaha koshaha. Now we have understood what now? Three bodies are five layers of personality. Mean the same, pancha koshaha is equal to what? Three bodies. Trini sharirani is equal to pancha koshaha. Three bodies is equal to five koshas, five layers of personality. Is it clear now? And all the three bodies or each layer of personality is what now? Material product. Doesn't matter tamasic or rajasic or sattvic, isn't it? Anyway, they're all what now? They're all products of matter. Therefore, all of them are what now? Inert. All the three bodies are of the nature of inertness. And Atma, the all-pervasive, innermost essence, is the reality. Satyam, the truth, reality is the awareness, which is distinct from the causal body and the effect. You can say sthula shairam is an effect, sukshma shairam is an effect, karana shairam is the cause. Okay? Distinct from what? Causal body as well as the effects. Distinct from all the three bodies. Similarly, karana, consciousness is what? Is distinct from all the three causal maya, distinct from maya, and distinct from subtle universe, distinct from gross universe also. Is it clear? Distinct. And its consciousness is one and the same, which is the truth. The Atma is the Satyam. Everything else is Mithya. And here I want to tell you one thing. This predominantly tamasic matter called Prakriti, and from the Prakriti came subtle elements, and from subtle elements came what? All these, you know, the sattvic, rajasic, even though subtle elements themselves are what? Products of predominantly tamasic matter. And there again, sattvic aspect of the subtle elements came what now? Antakkaranam, sense organ. Rajasic aspect came the karmendriyani and pranas. Tamasic aspect of the tamasic aspect of the subtle elements came the gross elements, isn't it? After the grossification. So the gross elements are basically products of what now? Tamasic aspects of subtle elements. Is it clear now? Gross elements are products of tamasic aspects of subtle elements. Are that mixed? Not pure, mixed, mixture. Therefore, the gross matter, the gross elements being purely the products of tamasic aspects of the subtle elements, they do not serve as manifesting medium. Understand? They're all the gross tamasic the gross elements and the elementals are also pervaded by consciousness. Now I tell you, what is Ishvara? Consciousness. What is Jivaha? Consciousness. Pragyaha? Consciousness. Vishwaha? Consciousness. Tajasaha? Consciousness. Antaryamishwaraha? Consciousness. Hiranyagarbheshwaraha? Consciousness. Viradeshwaraha? Consciousness. But consciousness is not anything. Atma Chaitanyam is not Vishwa, Tajasa, Pragya, not Hiranyagarbha, not Ishwara, not Antaryami, not Virat. All the six are what? Chaitanyam only. And here, that is why now in this Jagat, we called what now? Pragyaha. Now, so predominantly sattvic matter, we say Ishwara, no? Manifesting medium for Ishwara, manifesting medium, thereby Ishwara. Predominant rajasic matter is what now? Manifesting medium, upadhi, then we have get the word pragyaha, as jiva we say. But predominantly tamasic matter is not upadhi, it not manifesting medium. Therefore, consciousness is, there is no manifestation. Understand? In a predominantly tamasic matter, there is no manifestation. Manifestation means what? It is not accessible. Consciousness is not manifest, therefore, it is not accessible, non-interactable. That's when you see a piece of rock, is there consciousness? In this piece of wood, is there consciousness? Doubt comes. Why? You cannot make out. There is no way of making out. Why? It is not accessible. Non-accessible, non-interactable, non-transactable. Why? It is not manifest. So, if interactability or transactability or accessibility is there, then you will say what? Consciousness is. Because it is non-interactability or non-accessibility, non-transactability is mistaken for non-existence. We think, oh, piece of rock, there is no consciousness. Piece of wood, there is no consciousness. When you see living things, living beings, you say, oh, it is conscious. We see the living beings as conscious beings. We see the non-living things as what? Non-living things are inert, we say, chetana, achetana, isn't it? Living and non-living, animate, inanimate, animate beings, inanimate beings, all of them are what? All of them are pervaded by consciousness. But where is it accessible? In living beings, in where there is life, you say there is a conscious being. In a non-living thing, you say what? It is there, it is, we think it is not there. Isn't it true? Why do we think it is not there? There is no way of making out it is there. Therefore, we decide what? We said it is not there. It is not non-existent, okay? Consciousness is not non-existent, but not, it is non-interactable, non-accessible, non-transactable. Therefore, it is mistaken for non-existent on the part of inanimate beings, non-living things. Why? It is not manifest. Why is it not manifest? Because there is no manifesting medium. For manifestation, what should be the medium? Either it must be predominantly rajasic or predominantly sattvic. Predominantly sattvic means total manifestation. Predominantly rajasic means partial manifestation. Predominantly tamasic means non-manifestation. Don't say unmanifest, okay? Non-manifestation. Is it clear? This is the difference. And there again, you have to see, this is a, the level of manifestation differs. Understand? Suppose in a non-living thing, inanimate thing, innate thing like a piece of rock, etc., there consciousness is but not accessible because there's no manifestation, there's no manifesting medium is not there. Sukshma is not there. Subtle body is not there, isn't it? Subtle body is not there means there's neither rajasic or nor sattvic aspect. Are not there, isn't it? But there again, okay, where is it manifest then? If a sattvic product is there, if the material object, if it is predominantly sattvic or rajasic product, then there is manifestation. There again, manifestation is what? No, levels of manifestation differs. Suppose in your own, take your own subtle body, take your own subtle body. So your lungs and lungs obtaining other beings, elephant or cow or all other living beings. In a plant also certain sukshma is there. So in a plant also there is sukshma shariram, isn't it? Inhalation, there is also inhalation, exhalation, etc. happening. Photosynthesis, etc. Which means the sukshma is there. The sukshma differs from what? Being to being. In a butterfly, in an ant, in an animal, in a tiny little amoeba, paramecium, no virus, my God, isn't it? All bacteria, everywhere, tiny, tiny. Incomprehensibly tiniest, subtlest. Either sukshma is there. Sukshma is there, then there is a level of manifestation also in keeping with the sukshma, isn't it? Like how in your own whole organs, if you take it, in your own heart, there's a manifestation of consciousness. In your lungs, there's a manifestation of consciousness. In your kidneys, in all each organ, there is manifestation. Which means what? Similarly, in any other living beings, sukshma, lead is thulam now, isn't it? But what is the level of manifestation? You can understand the manifestation is of the conscious knowledge is in the form of what? The knowledge backing the order involved in the functions. Because without our instructions, it's a completely, I'm out of the subject matter of Vedanta Sara. Okay? I'm teaching something differently and coming back to the class. See, our kidneys function, our heart functions, our lungs function. Nothing to do with Vedanta Sara book, okay? I'm teaching, I want to understand. All each organ functions. But each organ cannot function separately, okay? They have to be together and they all function. Which means each organ, does it need to be instructed? No organ needs any instruction. Or your will is not required. So it's called involuntary function. Why do you call it involuntary? Because you are not at all inquired. You are not asked for any tuition, any help. How to operate? Suddenly I don't know how to function. No heart ever asks you for anything. It functions or it stops one day. That's a different thing, isn't it? He has one proper struggles also. What I'm saying, each are functions means the wherever, that's why you see a gross form, where you see a life in a gross form, there is a sukshma, isn't it? Sukshma means what? All functions. Sukshma, nothing but functions. All functions, involuntary functions. Sukshma shariram is what? Implies what? All involuntary functions. So where there are functions, and functions imply what? The order being there. There cannot be a function without involving an order. And wherever there is an order, order must be within the realm of knowledge. There is no knowledge. Because without being taught by me, instructed by me, requested by me, begged by me, or ordered by me, taught by me, it functions. Which means there is an order involved. That is why, my God, there is so many departments, nephrology, cardiology, you know, pulmonology, my God, all different departments. Why each department? Different orders. Each order is backed by what? Knowledge. Do we see the knowledge through physical eyes? No. But is there knowledge or not? Yes. That's what now? The knowledge, we can understand the knowledge backing the order involved in the functions. That knowledge is what? When you understand there is knowledge involved, which means that the knowledge is what? Accessible. Is it clear now? You don't see the knowledge through physical eyes, but you appreciate it. There's a cognitive appreciation of the knowledge being manifest. Understand, the knowledge which is accessible is what we said, what understandable is what now? Manifest knowledge. Vyakta chaitanyam, vyakta jnanam. Understand now? Manifest knowledge. You see the knowledge being manifest as the knowledge backing the order involved in the functions. That manifest knowledge is what? Knowledge manifest knowledge backing the order is what is called Ishvara. Is that knowledge manifest knowledge backing the order is Ishvara, the Lord. That's why order is Ishvara. No special. Okay, in this respect, level of manifestation only this much. We ask, what is the highest form of, the finest to form of manifestation of knowledge. You can see the word knowledge. The consciousness is also input by another term, knowledge. What the highest form of manifestation of knowledge? Finest form of manifestation of knowledge. That is not only in human mind. In human mind, there is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge. That is why human being is superior of all the creatures. Again, in what form? I am. I am. Understand? The highest form of manifestation. Finest manifestation of knowledge. Which means, when you say manifestation of knowledge, when you say manifestation implies what? Manifestation of what? Manifestation of knowledge or consciousness. Then it involves what? Manifesting medium. Isn't it? Manifestation, when you use the term manifestation, involves manifesting medium also. That's why the human mind, consisting of thoughts, is called antahkarana vritti samuhaha. Isn't it? Vrittihi, antahkarana vrittihi means a thought. So many thoughts come, remain unresolved. And each thought is what? Manifesting medium for consciousness. Understand, when you say knowledge, we understand here, the word knowledge, in a day-to-day conversation usage, when you say knowledge, physics, knowledge, chemistry, knowledge, computer, knowledge, language, knowledge, when you say cooking, knowledge, dance, knowledge, music, knowledge, art, knowledge, the knowledge. Suppose there is light, there is computer, there is specs, there are people. The point is, there is a television. Means what? Television knowledge. There is a television means television knowledge is there. You cannot talk about something which you do not know. Mirror is means mirror knowledge is. Light is means light knowledge is. Woman is means woman's knowledge is. Whatever is for you, you have that knowledge. Mic is, mic knowledge is. Light is, light knowledge is. So what is this light knowledge or mirror knowledge, specs knowledge? World is means world knowledge is. Therefore, the object what you see outside, there must be a corresponding knowledge in your mind. Only then the object, a corresponding object exists for you outside. So if there is a television means television knowledge, television is means television knowledge is. Television knowledge means what? So consciousness plus vritti, television vritti. Consciousness plus television vritti is equal to television knowledge. Consciousness plus man vritti is equal to man knowledge. Consciousness plus mic vritti is equal to mic knowledge. Are you listening? Consciousness plus light vrittihi is equal to light knowledge. Vrittihi is a thought modification. Thought. Is it clear? And each thought is what? Incomprehensibly subtle. Understand? So thought by itself cannot become knowledge or cognition. This is called what? No, consciousness plus given thought is equal to given knowledge. Understand? It's called a vritti jnanam. Which is called what? No, the knowledge rising in the mind. Whenever you say knowledge rises in the mind. Mathematics, knowledge, physics, knowledge, chemistry, knowledge, any knowledge for that matter, said knowledge of any object which rises in the mind, isn't it? That knowledge is what? Called vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam means what? We can say cognition, knowledge, understanding, perception. We say all these words, we use very close words. Knowledge, vritti jnanam, cognition, understanding, knowledge. Vritti jnanam means consciousness plus what? No. Vrittihi is vritti jnanam. So consciousness plus maik vrittihi is equal to maik knowledge. Consciousness plus apple vrittihi is equal to apple knowledge. Consciousness plus man vrittihi is equal to man knowledge. Is it clear now? It's called vritti jnanam. Now consciousness minus vrittihi is pure knowledge. Consciousness plus vrittihi is equal to vritti jnanam. Consciousness minus vrittihi is what? Shuddha jnanam. Pure consciousness. There is no pure or impure or anything. Okay. So consciousness, what is vrittihi? Vritti jnanam is what? Manifest consciousness. Manifest knowledge. Vyakta chaitanyam. Listen, upahita chaitanyam. Without the upadhi, without the thought, without the vritti is what? Shuddha chaitanyam. Pure consciousness, manifest consciousness. Or you can say reflected consciousness. Another word is there. Is there pure consciousness and reflected consciousness and manifest consciousness? There is only consciousness. It is typically saying what? Like saying light without an opaque object. Cognitively take away the opaque. Light is what? Pure light. Okay, light with an opaque object is what? Reflected light or manifest light. Is it clear? Similarly, consciousness plus manifesting medium is what? Manifest reflected consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, any which matter serves as a manifesting medium. Rajah Pradhana, is it? Rajasic, predominantly Rajasic or Sattvic, manifest conscious, serve as manifesting medium. Predominantly Tamasic matter doesn't serve as a manifesting medium. Understand? If there is no manifestation, means it is not accessible. The manifest consciousness is accessible, interactable, transactable. Pure consciousness is non-interactable, non-accessible. pure consciousness is non-interactable, non-transactable, non-accessible. Whereas manifest consciousness is accessible, interactable, transactable. Is it clear? That is why vritti jnanam, shuddha jnanam. Manifest consciousness, manifest knowledge and pure knowledge. So pure knowledge, so whenever we say an object is, means there must be corresponding vritti. Consciousness is there always, isn't it? The vritti is there, then that knowledge is there. Whatever knowledge is there, that object alone is outside. Suppose if I do not know, see, many years ago, I think in 2003 or 2004, the iPod, they were very, very new. I was new to iPod anyway, not iPod. iPod might have been there. Now it has become small, like a, isn't it, a tiny little one now has become, it contains so much. I remember I was staying with one family in Redbridge. The two kids were there. The boy was very highly, he was interested, all of them interested in gadgets. Imagine, I was staying with them, and one day he was crying, he was asking for some gift to the dad. He was asking, Sri Lankan Tamil family I was staying with, he was asking his dad for iPod. And then 9 o'clock in that night, and then the dad, so I also went with them to buy an iPod. What is this boy? iPod, and then I didn't really go to the shop. I was just sitting, I was tired, 9 o'clock, jet lag. I was waiting for them to finish the shopping and come out. For me, he said, we haven't bought it. After they bought it, But before also, iPod was not there for me. And then the boy was using it. And he said, Swamiji, I can have 650 songs. And he was telling me all, he was talking, very talkative. I didn't understand anything he was talking to me that time. Because for me, iPod, the very word, spelling, everything was new for me. What is iPod? He was hanging like this. And he was listening also. And I was asking, where is the iPod? He was sitting next to me, okay? Where is the iPod? You want to buy something called iPod? Where is the iPod? It's there. He said, it's there. Where? I was asking. Why? He was sitting next to me and wearing like a necklace. He was having it like this. And he was also listening. For me, it was not there. I was seeing the iPod. But for me, iPod was non-existent. No way. iPod vritti was not there. Therefore, iPod knowledge was not there. iPod knowledge is not there. Outside iPod is, but for me, iPod is non-existent. iPod asti, parantu mama nasti. Isn't it? It is there, but for me, it was not there. It is not there. Why? For me, iPod jnanam nasti. iPod object is there. For me, it is as good as non-existent. It is not there. Why? Because iPod knowledge is not there. Why? Because, not because consciousness is not there. Consciousness is always there. iPod vritti has not risen. Understand? For vritti jnanam must be. If there is knowledge here, there is object outside. If there is no knowledge here, the object is for you, it is not. Understand? Object is, it is not there for you. No vritti, isn't it? So consciousness is always there. Pure source of knowledge, origin of knowledge. This all knowledge is consciousness. without consciousness, vritti by itself cannot become knowledge. Consciousness without vritti also cannot contribute for knowledge. The pure knowledge minus vritti also cannot contribute for knowledge. But without consciousness, mere vritti cannot become knowledge. Is it clear? Therefore, that's why no knowledge is created. Already all knowledge, total knowledge, okay, any knowledge, anything which has to be discovered in future, all knowledge is already there. Okay, the fountainhead of this, the treasure house of knowledge, the source of knowledge, the origin of knowledge, reservoir of knowledge is already there. Understand? That's why no knowledge is created. Knowledge has to rise. So rising, so discovery of knowledge is discovery of what is what now? The rising of knowledge. Isn't it? Which means a thought has to rise. So now at least you know Shuddha Jnanam, Vritti Jnanam, or you can say Swarupa Jnanam, Vritti Jnanam. Understand the difference now? Therefore we say, when we say I am, what is I? Knowledge of self-existence. I am knowledge of self-existence. World is knowledge of the existence of the world. Knowledge of self-existence, knowledge of the existence of the world. Aham asmi jagad asti. I am, world is. Aham asmi jagad asti. Asmi asti. What is asmi asti? Asmi iti jnanam, knowledge. Asti iti jnanam, the knowledge, the world is, the knowledge I am, is also what? Vritti Jnanam. Is it clear now? Vritti Jnanam. Now we have to understand, what is it vritti? Aham, I am, aham asmi. Vritti, no? That am vritti, I vritti is there. Then there is knowledge I. If the I am vrittihi is there, then there is knowledge I am. If that particular knowledge, consciousness is, always is, isn't it? I am, these two vrittis, what no, that's what we saw in the Tahankara. Abhimanatmika vrittihi. The vritti because of which identity is possible. Self-identity is possible. That's called what? Ahankara. Beautiful definition of the ahankara. Isn't it? Vedanta Sara, we saw that. Abhimanatmika vrittihi. The vritti because of which self-identity is possible. That aham, always what now? I or I am, the vrittis must be there. Then there is knowledge what? I am. The world is, the vritti is there, world knowledge is. Then world is. In sleep, in deep sleep state, consciousness is, you are. But what is not there? Knowledge of self-existence is not there. the knowledge of the existence of the world is not there. You are world is. Self is, world is. But what is not there? The knowledge of the self existence. Knowledge of the existence of the world is not there. Knowledge is not there means what? Vritti is not there. Understand? Consciousness is. Consciousness is, isn't it? What is not there? Vritti is not there. Corresponding vritti is not there. When the vritti is resolved, aham vrittihi is resolved. Therefore, there is no knowledge, I am. Understand? Aham asmi. Am. I am. That am vritti is not there. You are. But there is no knowledge. And that vritti is what? My God, knowledge of self-existence. And am vrittihi is there. There is knowledge, I am. And knowledge, I am, is called what? Asmita. Aham asmi iti jnanam is asmita. Understand? The knowledge I am is what? Asmita. And this knowledge is what? Aham asmi iti knowledge is the finest, highest form of manifestation of knowledge. What is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge? The knowledge I am. Hope you understood. It's beautiful, isn't it? Why? Because if this knowledge is there, and what is possible? I am the whole. Aham asmi. Half knowledge, isn't it? The vritti is there. Aham asmi vritti is there. What not? The Upanishad's pramanam has to contribute for the rising of which vritti? Brahma. Aham asmi vritti is there. Brahma asmi, isn't it? That vritti is not there. That vritti has to rise. For the rising of that vritti, if the vritti rises, Brahma, isn't it? Brahma vritti rises. Then we have what? Brahma jnanam. But how should it rise then? Not Brahma asti. Aham Brahma asmi. That vritti comes, Upanishad pramanam has served its purpose. That's what now? Total manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? Now what do you need now? Vritti. That vritti has to be created or what? No. Already there. It has to rise. Like mic is, how clear you are. Mic vritti is, therefore mic jnanam is, therefore mic is. Consciousness is always there, eternally, timelessly, all pervasively, always there. Isn't it? What needs to rise in the mind? So, maik vrittihi udayati. Maik vrittihi asti. Therefore, maik jnanam asti. Therefore, maik asti. Understand? Maik vrittat is, maik knowledge is, maik is. Light thought is, light knowledge is, light is. This is called difference between pure consciousness, pure knowledge, and manifest knowledge. So, vritti jnanam is manifest knowledge. When we talk about, I know physics, you know chemistry, he knows me. When you say all these things, what does it mean here? Conscious thought, isn't it? It's called knowledge rising in the form of a thought. So, you have to remember, thought by itself does not become knowledge. Consciousness, you know, without the consciousness, and consciousness without the thought, thoughts are what now? Pure knowledge, it doesn't contribute for knowledge. So, consciousness with the thought alone is what? Reflected, isn't it? Manifest knowledge. So, whatever knowledge you have, that vritti is there. A physicist has what? The physics discipline, study, save years and years and years of this study. Only one field focusing on physics, there again, you know, given discipline. He studies only that, and all those vrittis alone rise. That's why the physicist knows, has what? Knowledge of physics. That given discipline you work, that those vrittis rise. This person studies, no? Astronomy, something. And whatever discipline you are focusing on, and slowly, and those, the dots pertaining to those discipline rise. And this person learns. Amazing, isn't it? So, where you channelize, and those vrittis rise, and 3 years, and 4 years, and 5 years, and 10 years, work, knowledge rises. So, Vedanta helps you what now? Certain way, isn't it? Dharma jnanam, karma jnanam, dharma jnanam, dharma anattanam, then it helps you. Then shad is a way, pramanam works, the discipline. But also what? Slowly, vritti. Brahma, that vritti rises, then there is what? Aham, Brahma, Asmi. Vritti jnanam rises. Not Brahma. Asti means useless. Suppose somebody says, the truth is, there is no moksha. Understand? Aham Brahma Asmi. Sarvam Brahmaiva. Isn't it? Then moksha. So this is vritti jnanam. Therefore, in non-living things, all pervasive reality, consciousness is, but we mistake it for non-existent due to its non-accessibility. Non-accessibility is because it remains pure, not manifest, because manifesting medium is not there. Understand? So, this I want to say something in between. I want to stop the class and go little away. I want to discuss these things with you. Okay? Because I know I left you half the way in Vedanta Sara. But I want to complete that like a story today. So, at least you know, you'll go home peacefully. What? Now, why sukshma shariram, so stholap. At least now you know sthula, sukshma, karna, everything you understood. But now what we have to do is, we'll go back to the text again, where we left, okay? We'll do textual class from next week. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.